finally time to discuss constitutional law. Constitutional law is honestly one of the things I was most excited about coming to law school for. It was really what ended up getting me into law school to begin with, the Constitution, that is. And ultimately, it was a big part of the field that I ended up wanting to go into. So I was a little disappointed last semester when we didn't have constitutional law, but now we're getting into it. And in so much that, I mean, I ended up enjoying this topic so much in the past that I did have a different podcast specifically focused on constitutional law and taking those into some of the everyday lives that we have currently. But let's go ahead and hop into how constitutional law works. Constitutional law is a very, you would say, a bit more abstract field of law, and that's because they're, I mean, it's a document, it's like a 5-page document, and then like 7 if you include the amendments. Ultimately, there's a lot that of interpretation that can go into those 5 pages. It's not a ton of text, but a lot of different thoughts about the text, and especially with the passage of time, how people understand it, what people think of the Constitution, what people think of the state of our country in general. So the purpose of today, our lecture today, was simply to go over the history of the Constitution, and really why we have the Constitution, and why we continue to value it the way that we do. So starting on the background of the Constitution, well, 1776 is when America declared independence from Great Britain. They wrote the Declaration of Independence, and said we're going to start our own country, ended up fighting a war over it, and then in 1881 they did start their own country, at least formally, in the form of the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation were an attempt to, well, create a confederation, or rather a union of the states, where there was this federal government that would have some power, but the states were still given a lot of authority to act independently. As a result, you can actually see this counterintuitive thought process of the Articles of Confederation. For instance, in the first article, it says, we are really gathering these states together. But in the second article, it says, well, you're still independent. So how can you be unified, and independent at the exact same time? Ultimately, what we learn is that there were a lot of things missing from the Articles of Confederation. And most significantly was the ability to collect commerce, regulate interstate commerce, and collect taxes. James Madison, he recognized that there were a lot of issues. And obviously there were a lot of issues because one of the things that he lists is that states were not respecting the authority of the Articles of Confederation. States were creating treaties with foreign governments. They were restricting trade with other states. I mean, that doesn't sound very unified. And ultimately, a delegation was sent to Philadelphia and to revise the Articles of Confederation and to make it a little bit stronger, to add a little bit more direction to solve these issues that they were seeing. Specifically, they wanted to fix the commerce, the interstate commerce, and the taxing. However, we know what happened. This was the Constitutional Convention. They decided to throw out the Articles of Confederation altogether and develop a United States Constitution. And you can argue whether or not that was a good thing at that time, whether or not the Constitution followed the rules of the Articles of Confederation in the first place. But ultimately, we can see that this document has lasted for a very long time, providing the structure of the United States of America. There are a lot of thoughts about this document. And there's a lot of people who are skeptics of its lasting authority. There are other people who praise its ability to withstand centuries of chaos within the United States. And ultimately, we can really say that there are four thoughts about the Constitution. And whether or not you accept one of these thoughts or the other, that's really up to you. I'll share my opinion at the end of this. But the document, the first one is that people believe that the document was solely created from compromises. If people were able to make agreements without disagreeing, then maybe we'd have a perfect constitution. But there, these people believe that the Constitution is created pretty much good, but lacking because of compromises. The second opinion is that the founders are geniuses. And what the thought is here is that these are people who were very well trained and ready to create something like this that could last for a very long time. They weren't perfect people, but ultimately created a document that has been very successful for the country. The third opinion is that people believe the founders were elitist who had the interests of their property in mind when they went together the Constitution. And the reason for this is because the Constitution protects property. It gives votes to those who have property, minimizes the voice of those who don't have property. And because these people had property, it made sure that they encouraged their voice. And the final opinion is that the founders are radical for wanting to expand the federal powers into as large as they were, or rather to to expand the powers to as large as they are. So even at the founding, some of these perceptions were still in existence. We had the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And this is really where the Federalist Papers come into play. If you don't know what the Federalist Papers are, it's pretty straightforward. They're essays written by James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, and John Jay about how defending the Constitution. So they were written in between the Constitution being passed and it being ratified. And the purpose of it was to persuade people that the Constitution was a good governing body. We talked about Federalist number 10 in class, which was written by Madison. And one of the arguments that was made by the Anti-Federalists is that a republic, a large republic, would result in factions. Well, a faction is really a group of people who have an interest, a very passionate interest, and they're willing to get into power to execute that interest. The issue, though, is that interest is usually adverse to the interest of the general public. And so we want to try and prevent factions. And the Anti-Federalist idea was that if you have a large federal power, well, then you're going to encourage factions. And the reason for this is because with fewer people making fewer decisions, well, then you would have a great opportunity for factions to arise. Madison kind of countered this. He was the first person to come up with this theory, but he says that the way to limit a faction is either to eradicate it completely or to limit its effects. And you can eradicate it completely by destroying liberty and destroying thoughts and actions. And the way that works is because if you have no liberty, well, then you've got no group of people who are trying to combine to make an interest. Well, we don't want that. We want our liberty. We enjoy our liberty. And as a result, we need to find a way to limit factions. And Madison proposed that a large republic could limit factions. How? Well, a large republic would, in a national body of power, would be able to pull from the interest groups of large amounts of people. As a result, this creates a wide variety of interests. So even if a faction were to arise, these other interests, recognizing that a faction was ulterior to their interests, would then quash the faction before it was able to gather any steam. And that was really Madison's argument for a constitution in this format, with a strong executive, a strong legislative, and a checking judicial branch. And that's really going to lead into Federalist number 51, which we'll talk about next week. I'm excited for constitutional law. My opinion about the Constitution is that it is a good document. There are a lot of skeptics out there about this country, how it runs, and the history of this country. But ultimately, because of the Constitution, I believe that we have a very strong system. And the reason for that is because we can see how the Constitution has allowed things to change. Yes, the Constitution had its imperfections, it had its compromises at the beginning, but ultimately these were able to be wired out throughout time through the constitutional amendments. We see that slavery was allowed in the original Constitution, but through amendments, slavery is not allowed. We see that people didn't have the right to vote in the original Constitution. And then throughout time, those people were allowed to vote. It takes time to work out some of these differences. And given enough time, I believe that we will be able to work out any differences that we see today, as long as we continue to believe that it is possible to make a change that'll benefit the society for the good. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.